VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, materializing right before our very eyes is a nationwide push for individuals to receive the COVID jab. I mean, it's being advanced by a rising number of corporations, educational institutions, even the government. As a matter of fact, last Thursday, President Biden said he would like to see states, companies, and schools mandate the shot. In brief, this is what he had to say.
Push for vaccine mandates in states, private companies, schools. Do you want to see those entities pass vaccine mandates?
Well, I'd like to see them continue to move in that direction. And that's why I pointed out. I had asked the Justice Department to determine whether that is they're able to do that legally. And they can. Local communities can do that. Local businesses can do that. It's still a question whether the federal government can mandate the whole country. I don't know that yet.
And through the prodding of the Department of Justice and through the prodding of the president, there are entities that are doing just that. Just hours ago, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, announced that New York City residents and visitors will be required to show proof of vaccination for indoor dining, gyms, and shows. He's calling this vaccine passport the key to New York City Pass. It's being launched August 16th. It's going to be in force starting September 13th. But the question is, why is there such a push for this shot when health officials in Los Angeles County said over 25% of new coronavirus cases are those who have been fully vaccinated? Last Friday, CNBC reported a study from the CDC showing 74% of people infected in Massachusetts' COVID outbreak were fully vaccinated. So what's going on? Here to discuss the issues with us today, we welcome back Barbara Lowe Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center. NVIC is a nonprofit charity that she co-founded with parents of DPT vaccine-injured children in 1982. They're a national grassroots movement and public information campaign to institute vaccine safety reforms and inform consent protections in the health the public health system. She has researched, analyzed, and publicly articulated the major issues involved in the science, the policy, the law, the ethics, and policies of vaccination to become one of the world's leading non-medical consumer advocacy experts on the subject. Barbara, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Jim. We've talked about these issues for many years.
Yes.
and talked about how, you know, the forced vaccination advocates have been gaining ground in this country, and certainly this pandemic declaration has accelerated the move toward mandated, no exceptions vaccine policies that were increasingly being enforced at the education, at the primary and high school education level, and now college education level with the other vaccines. But now, you know, those who advocate for no exceptions mandatory vaccination policies with every vaccine the federal government recommends have taken this opportunity to really advance the agenda. I wrote an article just that was published yesterday in my organization's the Vaccine Reaction Journal newspaper that we publish every week. And what I did was I spent a week looking at what was happening around the world. And I was pretty stunned because we're really not given the news in the United States. It's really blocked from us, so we're kind of isolated that way. But there are major hundreds of thousands of people that are going into the streets of Sydney, London, Rome, Paris, Athens, Berlin. They are being met with force from the police, using pepper spray, tear gas, and water cannon to try to stop these demonstrations against lockdowns, against masking, and against COVID vaccine passports. In Sydney, just this past weekend, the army was brought in. The army is now patrolling the streets of Sydney, and they are going door to door to make sure that anybody who tests positive is staying in their homes. The people in Sydney, a city of 5 million, are basically being told they cannot go outside of 3 miles of their house. They can only go out for necessary shopping, like food shopping. There are helicopters that are patrolling overhead with sirens and saying that to the people that if you break the lockdown rules, you will be found and fined.
You know, I saw this, the video this morning, Barbara, on here, the helicopter, people are on the beach there in Sydney, and through loudspeakers from the helicopter warning people to go on home, that the police have been notified, they're going to be en route, they're going to be making an arrest. I mean, this is unreal.
Well, it is definitely unreal. I mean, when I took a look at what was happening in the past 2 weeks, and with these tens of thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of people flooding into the center of these major European cities with their placards saying freedom, liberty, this is a dictatorship, keep your hands off our children, pharma needs to, you know, get pharma out of here. I mean, they understand what's happening. Now, remember, Europe was occupied. I mean, there were Paris was occupied in World War II. Italy, you know, in Berlin, just this last weekend, judges had said, you cannot demonstrate. They prevented the people who had filed paperwork to demonstrate in Berlin. They said, no, you can't demonstrate. Well, tens of thousands of people showed up, and they demonstrated anyway, because they remember what it was like when you were basically prevented from going into society, particularly minorities who were targeted, like the Jewish people, like people, you know, who were rounded up in World War II and brought to camp. So Europe is much more sensitized to this idea of totalitarian control than the United States, and we have never experienced that. You know, we had a revolution more than 200 years ago and we were founded on the principle of individual freedom, individual rights, civil liberties, freedom of speech and conscience, freedom of assembly. We are not used to the idea that our government could actually take away those rights. But that's what's happening right now. And I don't think a lot of people really understand the danger of what's happening. You know, when we give away the ability to have autonomy, to be able to decide what is put into our bodies and the bodies of our children, in this case, a commercial pharmaceutical product that is liability-free, you may be completely, totally pro-vaccine, but you can also be pro-civil liberties. Because this is the first step. I've called mandatory vaccination for more than two decades the tip of the spear in the culture war that is going on around the world and certainly is going on in this country. We absolutely give up the right to bodily autonomy at our peril. And that's what's happening right now. The one thing that we have, going for us in America is we do not have a centralized government like many of these other countries. Our founders were wise enough to create local, state, and a federal government. So we have an opportunity here to act at the local, county, and state level and try to have those governments serve as a counterbalance to the federal government, where this is all coming from. And in fact, there are states that have already put in place prohibition on COVID passports, and in some cases masking. There are about 15 or 16 states that have done that. When President Biden announced this masking policy and saying that all federal government employees will have to get vaccinated, the governor of Texas, within 24 hours, issued an executive order and said there will be no masking in Texas. There will be no mandatory masking. And businesses cannot prevent people from coming in and being customers, like what de Blasio is doing in New York City. We have some unions who have come out against the COVID-19 passports, preventing you from going into public spaces if you can't prove you've been vaccinated, including the United Healthcare Workers, the American Postal Workers Union, Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, the United Auto Workers, and also the Teamsters Union, I understand, in the last 24 hours has made a statement. So we have an opportunity in our country that some of these other countries don't have to stop this. But we are going to have to, we have to act now. And that means we have to get involved in our government processes. We cannot sit at home and think that somebody else is going to do it. You have to go get in touch and have conversations with your local sheriff, with your local school board, your county supervisors, your state representatives. Let them know you do not want this in America.
Barbara Lowe Fisher with us here today on Crosstalk. This nationwide push for the COVID shot is unfolding right before our very eyes. I mean, we have the whole matter of the National Institutes of Health supporting grocery stores requiring customers to provide proof of vaccination. We've got the liberal activist Don Lemon on CNN saying this. He said, I'm sure a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have a vaccine, can't come here, no shirt, no shoes, no shot, no service, he's been saying here, Barbara.
Well, that's right. And we already, Google, Facebook, Morgan Stanley, Ascension Health, The Washington Post, Saks Fifth Avenue, Lyft and Uber, Walmart, Disney, have mandated their employees to get the shots or they can't work there. Broadway has said all employees must prove vaccination and the audience to be admitted to a theater must be fully vaccinated and also wear masks at all times unless they're eating or drinking. So, you know,
tomorrow we're going to be having constitutional attorney Matt Staver addressing that very issue. But Barbara, I don't know, it seems like a plain reading of what the law is saying. Hey, where do you come up with this forced mandate? It's not there. And however the Department of Justice came up with this, I mean, it's like science fiction.
Well, no, I don't know where they came up with that, because that's why they're putting, I don't believe that, because the federal government has only been in charge of two things in the public health arena, public health law, and that is patrolling the borders of the United States mm-hmm. and also the borders between states. That is a real problem, because they can control interstate commerce. They could say, if they wanted to, that you cannot cross a state border without being vaccinated.
Hmm.
In other words, the states have control of what happens inside their borders. But when you cross a border, you may not, they could say you have to prove vaccination. I know they want to say that nobody can be on public transportation without vaccination. And, you know, as I said, Jim, we've talked about it before. I've been warning about this for
yes.
two decades, because I knew from sitting at the table with a lot of these vaccine, quote, stakeholders over the years, the health, public health officials and the manufacturers, et cetera, when I was a consumer representative on vaccine advisory committees, I knew that this is their end game. The end game has always been forced vaccination, no exemptions, no exceptions. And you know that not everybody can get through the process of vaccination without being harmed.
We're going to take a quick break here. Barbara Lowe Fisher is our guest. The folks, stay with us here on Crosstalk. We're going to get into the adverse reactions as well and what's happening there and why are the numbers so slow in being updated here by the by VAERS. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the age-old question, is it true that man evolved from the apes?
No, it is not, Chris. Humans were created separately. The animals, including the apes, were created after their kind, but humans were created in the image of God. Man is not related to the animals. But according to evolution, we are descended from the animals. It used to be thought that a rodent, a rat-like animal, was the common ancestor of all the mammals, but a recent study showed that the closest living relative of the common ancestor is the aardvark. How about that? We came from an aardvark. Chris, isn't it about time we recognize the evolutionary view as abject foolishness? Isn't it time we go back to Genesis and get it right?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
There is a nationwide push going on for the COVID shot. Barbara Lowe Fisher is with us today from the National Vaccine Information Center. Their website, nvic.org, nvic.org. Barbara, we continue to see the news in which people who have gotten the shot, who are undergoing medical care and media, I should say people who have not gotten the shot, And you'll see an interview with them in the hospital bed, and the news media will ask, "Do you wish you had gotten they'll say the vaccine, and they say, "Oh yes, I wish I had. I wish I could if I could do it over again." But I have yet to see a media conduct an interview with one who, of the many thousands of even grieving families whose family member had an adverse reaction to the shot and wished they had never received it. Can you comment on the adverse reactions and what Varis is telling us as well? What do we know is happening?
Well, we have, as of July 30th, over 500,000, over 500,000 COVID vaccine adverse events that have been reported to the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Nearly 12,000 COVID vaccine-associated deaths have been filed with that system, and about half of those, 5,600, are deaths that occurred in the U.S. The foreign countries who are using American vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, for example, are reporting to Varis as well. So we, in this country, it's about 5,600 deaths. I've noticed that the media that had been reporting COVID vaccine reactions are no longer doing that and are concentrating on the deaths and the complications of the Delta variant, which they say is dominating illness right now. I think that what's important, and you mentioned it at the outset of this program, that in Provincetown, Massachusetts earlier this summer, 75% of the cases were fully vaccinated. In an outbreak in Singapore recently, 75% of cases had been fully vaccinated for COVID. So there is a pattern here, and what is that? It looks as if this Delta variant is getting around the vaccine. There have been about 125,000 breakthrough COVID cases and 165 million vaccinated Americans over the age of 12 so far, which is about 1 in 1,300 vaccination persons. What they're saying is that if you've been vaccinated, your symptoms are much milder. Here's the thing. When these companies were asked to provide data from clinical trials in order to be granted an emergency use authorization from the Food and Drug Administration at the end of 2020, they were only required to show that the experimental COVID vaccines could prevent disease or decrease its severity in at least 50% of people who are vaccinated. Okay, that's... They were not required to show that this vaccine could prevent infection and transmission in vaccinated people. And in fact, that's why you have the president who has gotten, this past week, has said even vaccinated persons now need to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. Because the vaccine is not reliably preventing infection and transmission. Now, they say it's very rare, less than 1%. The problem is they're not keeping accurate records of how many vaccinated persons are becoming asymptomatically or mildly infected with this Delta variant and are transmitting. There's no scientific reason to mandate a vaccine for every person, particularly to participate in society, when you cannot guarantee that vaccine can prevent infection and transmission. These are still experimental vaccines. They have not been licensed by the FDA yet. Now, I understand they're going to be licensing in September. That's the rumor. It's going to be about September that they're going to be licensing it. And then I think there will be a really strong push for all businesses to require this vaccine as a condition of employment. What they're trying to do is segregate those who are unvaccinated out of society, so they literally can't live.
and they can't
make a living. They can't feed their families. They can't get an education. They can't get on a train or a plane or a subway. They're out. This is disgusting. This is discrimination. There are many people who cannot get through the process of vaccination without being harmed. Doctors cannot tell ahead of time who will be harmed. We have got these vaccines associated with Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, blood clots that can lead to brain hemorrhages, blood disorders, basically immune thrombocytopenia purpura, that means you basically bleed to death because your body can't coagulate, the blood can't coagulate. You know, these are not insignificant reactions that can occur, and they cannot predict who is going to, that's going to happen to. You know, this is not, this is a, in my view, a violation of human rights. You should never be forced to use a medical product, a commercial product, particularly one that has no liability associated with it in this country. You cannot sue vaccine manufacturers. You cannot sue doctors when you are injured or killed by these vaccines. So it is a human rights issue, and we either stand up and fight for our right to autonomy and the protection of bodily integrity, or we are going to become slaves to the state.
And when you say fight for your right, you're talking here to get active in our government, all levels of government, correct?
That's right. You know, protests are fine. Marches are fine. But what you really need to do is change the laws that govern us. We need to elect people who respect the informed consent ethic, which means you have the human right to be fully informed about any medical procedure or pharmaceutical product that can injure or kill you or your minor child, and be able to make a voluntary decision without being punished by anyone for the decision you make. We need to have legislators that understand how important protecting that right is and protecting civil liberties like freedom of speech, which is under attack right now. If you do not conform to the government narrative about COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccines, you're censored. NDIC has been removed from Facebook, Instagram. We have been removed from Twitter, Pinterest. We are the most censored of all organizations at this point that have been messaging for a long time on vaccines.
So,
and we take an informed consent position. We do not tell people not to vaccinate. We never have. And we reference all of our information, and yet we're censored because we're challenging the narrative on scientific grounds and on ethical and human rights grounds. And so, you know, I urge everyone, you need to get to the people you elect. I don't care what office you've elected them to, whether it's your school board, whether it's your county supervisors, the sheriff is another important office to communicate with your local sheriff. Communicate with as many people as you can, because, you know, they called the army out in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to call the army out in the United States of America?
Wow. Folks, Barbara Lowe Fisher is with us today and talking about that. Barbara, we keep hearing, we follow the science, and the science from the CDC is telling us this and that. What is the science really telling us? Because we're getting mixed signals on the science all the time.
Well, I think all you need to do is go to the CDC's website and realize what they're saying. There actually are a lot of very interesting statements on the CDC's website. They are acknowledging that this vaccine does not reliably prevent infection and transmission. Vaccines are supposed to prevent infection and transmission. That's what we have been told over and over again about all of these vaccines.
So this is not even meeting the definition of a vaccine then?
Not in the traditional sense. You certainly cannot call it an immunization,
mm-hmm.
which is what they like to call it. When you have a product that is not doing what it is advertised to do. Now, again, the EUA said, oh, it's just supposed to prevent serious disease, hospitalization, and death. Well, that's fine. But don't make people take it on that ground. Then people should have the choice of whether or not they want to use a product that is not guaranteed to prevent infection and transmission. there are, you know, these clinical trials that were conducted in order for the manufacturers to get an emergency use authorization, they did not include people who are being asked to get the vaccine right now. High-risk groups, people who have already recovered from the infection. We have many people who have recovered who had either mild or moderate or even severe SARS-CoV-2. And yet they were not in the clinical trials. What's going to happen? I mean, are they going to be at risk for having a more severe reaction to COVID-19 vaccine? Or are they indeed, if they get infected with the Delta variant, if they've been vaccinated, are they going to have a worse course with the disease? All of these are outstanding scientific questions. What about people who have a history of neurological disease, like a history of epilepsy, a history of autoimmunity, a history of severe allergy and anaphylaxis? There are a lot of people in this country who have those kinds of medical histories. What about them? The people who are at risk for having a bad course with the vaccine, there hasn't been enough study done, in my view, and in a lot of people's views, especially when these vaccines are genetically engineered vaccines that are made in a way that vaccines have never been made before, like with the messenger RNA technology, which is brand new. So for us to rush into a mandate that prevents you from participating in society, even going to the grocery store and buying food,
yeah,
unless you've been vaccinated, is cruel.
And we're also seeing a lot of finger-pointing on saying the reason we're having this rise and the reason the variants out there and people are getting this is because of you people who have not been vaccinated with this.
Well, how, they can't say that when the vaccine does not prevent infection and transmission.
Yeah.
How can they say that?
We're hearing it often.
And they aren't keeping track of the vaccinated people and who's getting testing positive. People have been reading about how many people who've been vaccinated, high-profile people, legislators, sports figures, Hollywood celebrities, many people who have been vaccinated and have tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
They can infect other people. You can't say that it's the unvaccinated people who are driving this.
What's happened to HIPAA? I mean, some places are requiring a sticker if you have been vaxxed. You know, employees are to wear a sticker. Others are told to, I'm seeing some sports teams, you have to wear this yellow wristband if you've not received this vaccination.
You know, this is so outrageous that we would stoop in this society to basically having people wear a symbol on their person that categorizes them as, you know, as a condition of being able to participate in society. People need to take a step back and understand where this is going. If you can do this on this with COVID-19 vaccine, what else is going to be done? What else can you be prevented from participating in society, earning a living, getting an education, using public transportation? This is very dangerous.
Barbara Lo Fisher, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and they've got a ton of information on their website. She's with the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, and also NVICAdvocacy.org. You'll find lots of information there as well. But when she talks about contacting your officials, yes, your school board, they're making decisions. City council members, county supervisors, your state legislators, your U.S. Senators, and members of the House of Representatives as well. Any body of government, your sheriff, that you vote on in the elections. Well, friends, I'm sure you've got a ton of questions, too. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, I've got a list of stories and questions. I could talk to Barbara for hours and get her reaction to various things that are going on, but we're going to give you that opportunity as well here in Crosstalk, and the number is 800-733-9829. All lines are filled right now, so if you do get a busy signal, just wait a moment and call us right back. Barbara, just before we pick up our first call, could you comment also on the mask mandates that we're seeing take place? Are masks effective means to combat COVID-19 and the variants?
There's a lot of disagreement in the medical literature about whether masks are or not effective. The thing is, I don't know if people realize that what President Biden said was that all of the schools in the country, that all the children in the country over age 2 going to school this fall should be masked. Mm-hmm. And all teachers and staff and visitors to school should be masked. So there, and again, whether you're vaccinated or not, whether your child over 12 years old has been vaccinated or not, should be wearing a mask. So, like I said, there are several states that have said, governors who have issued, like governor of Texas, that there will be no masking. Florida also, there will be no mask, mandated masking in schools. Mm.
Let's go to, lines are packed. Alan is calling from Milwaukee. Alan, you're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make a comment. There's a website, Solari, SOLARI.com, that has it's about a 4-page form that puts the burden on the employer, like the educational institution, if there's any adverse reactions, if this person is required to take this vaccine, that the burden's going to be put upon them. There's been lawyers that have crafted this, and it's, well, like I said, it's very...
Okay. Let me have our guest comment on that, Alan. Thank you.
Well, the problem is that, you know, the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act did provide a compensation program that is supposed to be an alternative to a lawsuit. In that law, we were able to, at the time it was passed, people could sue the manufacturers for failure to warn and could sue the doctors for medical malpractice. But that law was gutted by Congress over a series of 30 years, and the U.S. Supreme Court finally did the final blow in 2011 when they took away all remaining liability from the vaccine manufacturers. So I think it's going to be pretty hard. I understand what the lawyers are trying to do. But the truth is that it's almost impossible to sue a manufacturer or a doctor in this country. Mm-hmm. And as far as the businesses, there's also been a patchwork of laws that have been come up in the what do you call it, tort reform laws that have come up in the last couple of decades that have prohibited suing businesses. Now, I hope they are able to get around that, but I'm not so sure.
Let's go to Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I heard Dr. Lofischer speak on YouTube.
She's not a medical doctor, but
I understand that.
Okay,
anyway,
go ahead right with your question.
Wonderful. But I just feel like if people understood more, one of my family members, when they were going to get the vaccine, I said to them, you know, you can still get the illness and you can still transmit it. And the family member said to me, oh, I know that. I just want life to get back to normal. But I feel like if more of the public understood that, because I think a lot of them don't, there would be less of pressure on the people who are not taking the vaccination, because people think it's going to protect them if everybody does it. And also, though, you know, the government wanting businesses to do their dirty work for it. That's fascism. That's exactly what Hitler did.
Thank you, Zoe. Barbara, your comment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have to really look at the CDC, like I say, has admitted that the vaccines did not reliably prevent infection and transmission. And they really don't know how many people who are vaccinated are getting infected. I think this is a very, very important point, which is why they're saying people have to mask whether they're vaccinated or not. If people would just think about that for a while, they would understand that this is not a product that should be mandated.
Thank you, Zoe. Barry is next in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes. We need to be militant against this and push back, but our best efforts are going to be redundant against anything that's coming our way until, I've said this before, until we, our preachers, start preaching with conviction, get back to the uncompromised gospel, put our altars back in the church and use them. Mm-hmm. Everything, this is why this is all coming our way. God's not out there wringing his hands like he don't know what to do. He's trying to get our attention. We see, the church can't see it. I've been to a lot of churches, and okay. I see they're afraid to preach the gospel. We've got some good ones, but I'll tell you what, they're few and far between. And we need, these preachers that are listening right now, they need to Sunday morning pray and wait upon God and preach with conviction and open those altars up.
Thank you, Barry, for that. And Barbara, yet the church and many pastors are becoming the avenue to promote the shot here as well.
Yes. About a decade and a half ago, the CDC was very transparent in saying that they were going to go into the churches, into the places of worship, and into faith communities, and they were going to make them, convince them that they should participate in implementing government policy. And that's exactly what has happened. The churches, the synagogues, et cetera, the CDC, I always said, don't let them cross into the sanctuaries. Do not let government officials cross into the sanctuaries. You know, this I see so many doctors saying, I believe in vaccines. And politicians say, I believe in vaccines. You know, faith belongs in churches. Faith in things unseen. The faith doesn't belong in the halls of science or the halls of Congress or the halls of legislatures. This whole policy is being viewed in a religious way almost, and faith belongs in our churches, and not in in the policies having it implemented as if it was a religion.
Well, again,
and
yet,
a lot of people have made that comparison, but somehow I feel like faith leaders have lost their way on this.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with your caller that they have really, you know, I call it worshiping false idols.
Yeah.
And I've seen officials, there's a very high-ranking official, health official, that says, you know, you can't disagree with me. I am science. And if you disagree with me, you're basically anti-science.
Thank you, Barry, for the call here. And that sparks another whole issue. I mean, this is how Margaret Sanger got her ideals as well to be accepted, was working through the church in that regard. Let's render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, to God
right.
The things that are God's. Russell
correct.
Is calling from St. Mary's, West Virginia. And Russell, you're on the air.
Yeah, the national news media is the ones that kills me. How are you supposed to believe somebody when they have O'Biden on there saying this is largely an unvaccinated epidemic, and then two stories later they say the Washington Nationals canceled their ball game because 12 of their players tested positive and 11 of them were vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Russell. There's a lot of mixed information. There's a lot of hypocrisy that is sprinkled all throughout this, Barbara.
Well, that's right. And again, this is a pharmaceutical product. It's a biological product that is sold by companies that have no liability, and it every vaccine carries a risk of injury or death that can be greater for some than others because of genetic and epigenetic, environmental and biological reasons. We're not all the same. We don't all react the same way to pharmaceutical products. For some of us, they don't work. For some of us, they do work, but they can be associated with injury or even death. This is just not appropriate. I mean, what else is going to be mandated so that, you know, you have to take it in order to participate in society? What other things are we going to have to do? We have to put a stop to this. This has got to be a voluntary program. If you believe that the vaccine is right for you and your child, by all means, you have access to it. But don't force other people who do not, for whatever reason, do not believe it's appropriate for them and believe they have to exercise their conscience and exercise their rational thinking skills. You cannot force people. This is not going to end well.
Let's get to Phoenix, Arizona. Houston, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that the media and all these doctors that refuse to give people these prophylactics that we know that work, like hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, like Dr. McCullough was saying, I believe, on your show, they need to be held accountable. And, you know, why do you need a vaccine if we know that there's studies out there that prove that these prophylactics work? And also, I just wanted to note, it's strange that the three presidents that refused the vaccine are all dead. And I know that's a weird conspiracy theory, but
from the different nations. Okay. Thank you for that. What about hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin? It seems you even mentioned those and you're censored, you know, by social media and shot down right away. There just really is a push to block any information on these drugs.
Well, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a mother of a vaccine-injured child, now grown, and I helped start this movement back in 1982 to try to reform the mass vaccination system. But I think that what really puzzled me at the very beginning of this pandemic was that all of the money, all of the effort was poured into immediately developing a vaccine. There was little money that was put into developing therapies and helping people get through the infection without having complications that would lead to hospitalization or death. And there are drugs that have been licensed that a lot of people are using, like the two that you mentioned. NVIC does not make any vaccine use or medical product use information, recommendations. But we do think that there should have been much more effort put into trying to help people get through this infection, which has still a less than 1% infection mortality rate. I think we, you know, in all of this hype, we forget that this infection is not comparable to smallpox that had a 30% mortality rate, or Ebola that has sometimes a 50% mortality rate. This has been so blown out of proportion. Yes, people do die, and they do have complications that can lead to long-term problems, but you have to see it within the context of other infectious diseases.
Let's get to Jason next in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for another great show. I would like to, my wife works at a place that you would care about the COVID, the Wuhan flu, a little bit more, and she had a coworker who just tested positive, and they are also vaccinated. She works with a girl whose boyfriend was notified that he had been in contact with someone who tested positive. Not only have they allegedly had this the coronavirus already, allegedly, they've also been vaccinated, and now apparently they have it again. And I was just wondering if maybe tomorrow, if maybe when you're talking to Matt Staver, is there any possibility of like a class action type lawsuit against the media and social media for keeping information about the prophylactic?
Thank you for that, Jason. And let me correct myself. Matt Staver is actually going to be Thursday with us on the program Thursday. But any class action issues, Barbara, that people can take into account? And we're up against a break.
You know, people have been talking about suing these these big tech companies like Facebook and Google, et cetera. The problem is that Congress has given them liability protection. Now there's talk about withdrawing that liability protection. It's pretty hard to sue these companies, particularly when you have the federal government, basically telling them to stop to censor anybody.
Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In the last few days, the governor of New York has declared that we need to go door to door, put people in the car, and get the vaccine in their arm. Now he's ratcheted it up to the next level. He's calling on businesses to not allow the services to be rendered to anyone not vaxxed. We have other people in the media, like Don Lemon of CNN, calling on businesses to not give services to those not vaxxed. Are you seeing what's happening here, folks? There is a great setup to violate the religious and civil rights of conservatives, Christians, and conservative Jews. This is not the mark of the beast, but it is certainly laying the foundation where no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. It's conditioning businesses, government, and people for the Antichrist system. And now you see why it's so important to understand Bible prophecy. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Barbara Lowe Fisher is our guest here today. She is the president of the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, NVIC.org. And also they have the website NVICAdvocacy.org as well. Well, our lines are absolutely packed. Going right back to them, Holly is our caller holding the longest. And Holly, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. God bless you. And you too, Barbara. I love what you said about faith belongs in the churches. I mean, how can you have faith in science when it's ever changing? I think you're right that we have to talk to our local officials and our elected people that are supposed to, that are closest to us. But it's undoubtedly that there's going to be protests and demonstrations that'll take place across the nation. And if those of you listening are going to participate in that, I know we're going to do one September 11th at the Capitol. Be peaceful, be civilly, be civil, and an emphasis on the civil, because I've seen it before at public hearings. You know, the media will come, and it's like they prey on the people who are maybe not as well-spoken and well-versed, or that they are easily triggered, and they'll prey on them. And next thing you know, they'll be creating a false flag event. And I'm sure it will happen, and they'll lump us up nearly with half a million Americans, or half the Americans who aren't back, just like they did with the Trump thing at the January 6th, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So just remain peaceful and don't do anything crazy and unethical, okay?
Thank you, Holly. Appreciate the call. Carol in Sparta, you're on the air, Sparta, Tennessee.
Hello,
Carol.
And they'll lump us up nearly with half.
Okay, let's go to Christine next, and Racine, you're on the air.
Ms. Fisher, I think we need to harken back to what Dr. Robert Malone has said. He's the creator of the mRNA vaccine. He has stated the exact same things, that the vaccines, the jabs are creating more contagious versions of this. And he said the same thing. This is not at all perfected science. This is the creator. This is the inventor of this technology. Also, Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president of Pfizer, not a Christian, said he believes fully that these vaccines are precursors to implement a global digital ID. So there we have it. We need to realize where this is going, and it is going to happen, and we must have demonstrations like all of Europe is doing. Yes, peacefully, but we need to get some steel in our spine before it's too late.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to make a comment because I have always been a proponent of nonviolent civil disobedience. If you're going to, you know, protest, you absolutely have to do it intelligently and calmly and be dedicated to love and peace and not violent confrontation. It doesn't work. It never has worked. And, you know, you have to be an example for other people. So there will be people, agitators, who will infiltrate demonstrations, try to cause trouble, try to make and paint the whole demonstration as being violent when most people who show up are there to protest peacefully. So it's going to get worse here as they try to implement this COVID-19 passport. And we're all going to have to keep our heads and understand what the ultimate goal is, and that is reform of these laws. So, you know, God bless everybody because this is not going to get any easier.
Harry is calling from New Berlin, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to mention I came across an article here on LifeSite News. It was a security expert who discovered the contracts that Pfizer has, and under no circumstances can anybody or any country return the Pfizer vaccine. Also, the drugs like ivermectin and so forth, they will the contract is made so that they cannot use these drugs, the ivermectin and so forth. If you read through the contract...
The contract with who, Harry?
Okay.
The contract with who?
The contract from Pfizer that Pfizer has made with all these countries.
Okay.
If you read through their contract, it states in there why this is being, this is why it's being pushed so much. They have complete control.
Okay. Barbara, able to comment on that?
No, I mean, I know that the dominant right now, the market share belongs to Pfizer and then Moderna, at least in this country, the two mRNA vaccines. And then you have the Johnson & Johnson Janssen vaccine that is comparatively does not have, you know, a lot of play here in the U.S. So clearly the goal is that these mRNA vaccines should will be the dominant ones that are used around the world.
Colleen is in Venice, Florida. You're on the ear of Colleen.
Hi. I just wanted to say we are hearing somewhat about some of the complications and deaths after the COVID vaccine. I think what we're not hearing much about, though, is the people who have passed away who are being dismissed as other causes. I had a very dear friend who had been through a year of chemo. She was rejoicing that the scans were clear and the doctor had cleared her. However, he insisted that she get the vaccine, told her, I have kept you through this, and now you want to die of COVID. She got the vaccine, and she died 2 days later in her sleep. Now, just recently, we have a neighbor who was a tennis pro, a healthy man who rode bicycles 30 miles a week every other weekend, or every weekend. He was diagnosed with cancer. He had two chemo treatments, was already doing better. Doctor was expecting him to recover. Same thing. They insisted that he needed to get the vaccine. He got the vaccine, and within a week, he immediately went downhill and died.
My, I'm so sorry, Colleen. And Barbara, we've got just 45 seconds left. So if you want to comment on what Colleen or what you want to leave with the listeners. So,
Thank you, Colleen.
These
stories are repeated over and over again. The science has not been done to find out who's at high risk for reacting to these vaccines. Everyone, please get informed. Please go to MBIC.org. Become a user of MBICAdvocacy.org that helps you work with your state representatives in changing these laws. Go to the vaccinereaction.org, which is our journal newspaper. We've got to stay in touch. We've got to get active, and we've got to do it peacefully.
Barbara Lowe Fisher with us today. Again, NVIC.org and NVICAdvocacy.org as well. Barbara, thank you, as always, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And folks, stay informed. And again, I had misspoke earlier. Matt Staver actually scheduled to be with us on Thursday's broadcast, Lord willing. Look forward to that interview as well. And Alex Newman scheduled to be with us tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.